Welcome back to the Unfair Advantage mini podcast. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about self-awareness. Cody, I know you've done some interviews in this area, but I guess I'm curious for you, you know, what do you think about in terms of self-awareness for coaches? Like, what is this and why does it matter?
Well, it matters the most, right? This is the hottest topic in coaching right now. And it's a funny one because I was thinking about this during the week and, you know, reflection and self-awareness are kind of inherent in coaching, right? Like I made the point on Twitter. I'm like, reflection isn't new for us. Every drive home after every training session and every game throughout coaching history is a period of reflection. And you're sitting there, you know, thinking about what you could have done better. You know exactly where you messed up in the talk that you're giving. But I think we can really deepen that relationship and put structure around it and really start to interrogate even our understanding of self-awareness. And obviously the great scientific work of, you know, someone like Tasha Urich who came on my podcast and talked about it, is integral to that as well in terms of deepening our relationship and giving us a more sophisticated relationship with self-awareness, I think is important in coaching. And then the last one that I'll kind of throw back at you is within her work, what stands out to me is actually the relationship between the two sides of what she's calling self-awareness. So there's a self side, which is great, but the self has to socialize in some way, shape or form. We're a society, the self runs into other people. And so there's actually a social element to it as well that I think is really captivating. And I would call that the underexplored portion of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, to your point, like for the self-awareness to really work, I think we also have to understand our impact on other people. But that's part of what makes it kind of dynamic. And I think what makes it such a valuable skill to have, and you and I were chatting a little bit before, like to me, self-awareness is sort of the foundation of behavior change. And I think part of why that works is because first you have to understand what it is that you'd like to be different and be aware of what's going on in your life that's not maybe working the way that you need it to. But I think the second part of that is the social dimension, which is, you know, we all exist in relationship. And so if we're going to make and sustain any real behavioral change, we have to understand how that change is going to impact the system of people around us. You know, there's no one change we're going to make to a system, including our own system of behavior, that isn't going to ripple out and create changes in the rest of the system. And so to have some level of understanding of what that change is and how it's going to work, I think is critical. And, you know, you said something at the very beginning that really caught my attention, which was that self-awareness is getting a lot of attention right now in the coaching community. And I'm curious about why you think that is. I have some theories, but before I explain my theories, I want to hear from the coach's side.
Well, you kind of talked on it, right? The behavior change hasn't happened. And so, you know, the coaching behaviors haven't aligned with performance and they don't. I wrote a whole book about it, right? And I think there is a social narrative around it on top of that, right? And so as we really start to explore mindfulness and some of these, not new topics, they're ancient topics, some of the oldest topics we have, but as we really start to explore them in the modern world, you know, I think we're hoping that they can drive that behavior change that we've been hoping for. I think it's on the negative side of coaching. So the abusive side of coaching and like understanding what abuse is and what abuses have happened historically and why they are abuses and cannot continue. But then also on the other side of like positive performance, you know, really where we're getting to a point where, so many things in coaching are commoditized that if we can get extra performance out of coaches, we can create well coaches, like well from a well-being perspective and actually enhance their ability to impact the performance of athletes. That starts with self-awareness, as you said, So if we can play around there as well, now we're really rapidly starting to create that behavior change, both the negative, enhancing the negative behaviors, but also enhancing the positive behaviors in coaching.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And there are a few things I want to unpack there. I mean, for me, like I said, my theory is that the sort of tide of negative attention on coach behavior in the last few years has probably prompted an interest in how we help coaches understand their impact on other people a little bit more and recognize the way that they're shaping the system. But I actually think this is also a place where coaches, leaders, mentors could take a page out of the book of psychologists, which is, you know, psychologists are really trained to use themselves as a way to motivate other people to change, whether that's by modeling, reflecting, asking good questions, being present with difficult emotion. There's a lot of stuff to be learned from that. And I think it's sort of an underexplored and underutilized space in coaching, where it's sort of the coach as the performer recognizing the full power of the leverage they have and fully understanding their impact through that self-awareness is sort of like an unrealized place of potential for me. So for example, like when head coaches sort of close off like their inner experience, their stress, their frustration, whatever, that's a place where actually that energy might be helpful for the athletes to sort of like see that and connect with that, to feel a little bit more closely connected with the coach, the team, the larger organization versus this coach as this kind of like stoic, distant figure, who's just sort of like moving pieces around a chessboard. And so, you know, I guess I don't know exactly where to take that, but I'm just sort of like exploring it out loud right now, thinking about, you know, what it would look like for a coach to fully be aware of kind of their own values, their own thoughts and feelings and behaviors, how that impacts the people around them, and what, you know, a coach or any leader who had that level of understanding could then do to leverage that to get the most out of the people they're supervising, coaching, whatever it might be.
Yeah. And I mean, this is my work now, right? Like it plugs into exactly what you're talking about, that psychological element of, yes, there's a self piece to this, but there's also a social piece to this. And both of them have benefited by having your behaviors basically explained back to you as well as your own interpretation of them. So I'll give you an example of, you know, some of my work. I'll sit in the lecture theater when the coach is doing analysis and video sessions, and then sit at the back of the room, observe the room, observe the coach giving the, you know, presenting the film back to the players, observe the players and their behaviors, also observe how it's delivered, and then have a debrief at the end of that. How did that session go? You know, what did you pick up on as the presenter, as the coach? And then what did I see as well? And so you get that mirror impact of, here's what I saw. Actually, I thought this landed, but you lost the players here. There were some hazy eyes. You know, your tone could have changed. You could have added energy in the middle of it, or whatever it may be, the scenario. And so you get the double whammy of because the coaches are self-aware. You can't stand up in front of 16 NBA players or 50 AFL players. And when you're starting to lose the room, you get a sense, right? You're so plugged into human beings that you know that. But then to have another party go, actually, I think you're being harsh on yourself there in that instance, but you could have tightened up over here. That then meets in the middle. You've got third party validation. You've got your own self-awareness. And I think that's a much better output. And you can do that for everything, training, games, meetings, just general tone, attitude around the place, the environment that you're creating. You can deploy that anywhere in an environment and have it be successful.
So I want to put you on the spot then real quick based on the work you're doing. So if you were going to work with a new coach, or a coach came to you and said, you know, this is an area I really want to grow or improve, where would you start them? Like what aspect of the work that they're doing would you advise that they begin to tune in a bit more to?
It's entirely contextual to that coach. So it's like any coaching relationship, right? And so if you walk into a gym and say, I want to get bigger, the trainer should say to you, well, what does that mean to you? Like what are you talking about? Are you talking about your biceps? Are you talking about your upper body? Are you talking about, do you want to weigh more? Do you want legs to go along with the upper body? So do you just want to do beach weights? And so you look great at the beach in your singlet. And so it like any coaching relationship should start with an audit of what you mean by that. So often it's what coaches bring to me, and they all self-select, right? And so they come with self-awareness. They're aware that they want to change their behavior, to your point earlier. So they know, okay, well, what is the thing that you think that is? Well, I want to communicate better. That's a broad overarching topic. What does that mean? Do you want to communicate better with yourself? Do you want to change your self-talk? Do you want to communicate better in one-to-one relationships? Do you want to communicate better in one-to-many presentations? What actually is it? So what you're trying to do there is draw out their self-awareness and what they think the issue is. And then it becomes that observation, communicate back to them, make decisions, you know, adjust, make changes in their behavior with them. And so my relationship is a coaching relationship, just like you coach players in that manner, just like a personal trainer would coach someone lifting weights. I coach coaches in exactly that same way.
I think it's interesting too, because like the outset of coaching is inherently an exercise in self-awareness then, you know, you're not really pointing them in the direction of anything, but sort of forcing their hand at identifying what's missing already. So in your own way, your sort of starting point is by forcing someone to raise their awareness and give you an option, which I think is pretty cool. I think it's just interesting to hear, because for me, you know, where I tend to start is, I think people tend to behave in sort of like normal ebbs and flows of patterns of behavior. And so I start to have people look for deviations in that sort of norm, right? So if you find that, for example, you know, you're like me and you're a little more edgy when you're tired, you know, can you start to see where that sort of plays out and how it impacts the way you know, hear other people, communicate back, show up to work, whatever it might be. And so I think it's just fascinating to sort of explore like the different ways that people could do this. I guess the last piece I'd be curious to unpack for the coaches and leaders here, Cody, is from, you know, your work with Tasha and some of the interviews of her and your conversations with her from your own work, like where do you see being maybe a place that people should pay more attention to in terms of the work around self-awareness? Like, is it at work? Is it at home? Is it somewhere I'm not even thinking about? You kind of take it wherever you think it goes.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Let me plug this into your conversation with Ethan, in that I actually think that's the dramatically underexplored area of self-awareness. And so that plays out at home, in the office, wherever you may be, is really paying attention to your self-talk. So what are you saying to yourself? And does that lead to those, what you call like lapses in behavior or lapses in a normal pattern of behavior? So, you know, what you end up finding is that you might actually be a really pleasant and welcoming person that just kind of gets shitty in the line at Tim Hortons while you're waiting for your coffee. So what brings about that? Why is that environment? Is it the person behind the counter? Is it your view of customer service? Like, but what's going through your head? Why does your natural ebb and flow change just in a retail environment? Or for a lot of people, it's in the airport. Right? They become absolute animals in an airport, but are normally timid, polite people that just go about their days. And so again, I think it becomes listen to your self-talk, your chatter, in those environments and see if you can start to recognize patterns, particularly when you become anxious or angry, but also the other side, when you're actually at ease and feeling good about yourself. How are you talking to yourself? That'd be a good place to start for anyone.
Awesome. Love it. Until we meet again.